Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Two Soviet cosmonauts can be forgiven this morning if they're a little wobbly trying to walk on solid ground. They're just back from a record 366 days in weightless orbit on the Mir space station. As John Sheehan reports, there were some nervous moments this morning before their capsule, with a French hitchhiker aboard, landed 3 hours late.
The cosmonauts were last seen on Soviet television last night aboard the Mir space station. The three who had trouble getting back to Earth are Vladimir Titov and Musa Manarov, who yesterday completed 1 year in space, setting a new endurance record, and French cosmonaut Jean-Luc Chrétien, who spent 3.5 weeks in space with the Soviets. Chrétien, Titov, and Manarov separated from the orbiting space lab this morning in a Soyuz capsule heading for a landing in Kazakhstan in Soviet Central Asia. Soviet authorities have given no detailed information about what went wrong, but say there was a malfunction in a computer aboard the re-entry capsule. The three cosmonauts continued to orbit the Earth while technicians on the ground attempted to send new commands to the reluctant computer. The reprogramming worked. The Soyuz missed its originally planned landing spot, but did get down safely. John Sheehan, CBS News, Moscow.
A federal audit reportedly has found the Farmers Home Administration, which makes loans to struggling farmers, has piled up losses of at least $36 billion. The New York Times reports the study by the General Accounting Office concludes the agency will not be able to meet its outstanding debt obligations without borrowing more or congressional appropriations. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy blames the Reagan administration.
The farm policies during the past 8 years have been so bad that the value of many, many farms have been driven down so badly that we now have this huge debt on the books.
Last year, Congress voted a $4 billion bailout for the other major farm lending agency, the Farm Credit System. The government is also under pressure now to bail out insolvent savings and loans to the tune of nearly $50 billion. President Bush may have more cabinet announcements today. After two postponements, Samuel Skinner is expected to be named Transportation Secretary, and Mr. Bush is also expected to pick his first black cabinet member. As Jacqueline Adams reports, the decision was not without controversy.
Dr. Louis Sullivan remains George Bush's leading candidate for Secretary of Health and Human Services, despite the vocal opposition of some in the anti-abortion camp. Questions arose when Sullivan was quoted in an Atlanta newspaper as supporting a woman's right to an abortion. But Transition Chief Craig Fuller doesn't believe the newspaper report was accurate. Sullivan, he said, shares the president-elect's opposition to abortion, and Mr. Bush is behind him.
Our discussions with Dr. Sullivan have been very encouraging. We think he's a very strong candidate. We'd like to go forward with him, and I think we're pretty close to that.
Transition officials noted pointedly, however, that Mr. Bush has not offered the HHS job to Sullivan. He has a strong ally, though, in Mrs. Bush, who sits on a college board with him and has been a friend for years. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Washington.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission votes later today on the future of two key New England reactors, Seabrook in New Hampshire and the Pilgrim plant in Massachusetts. Gene Hartigan reports from Boston affiliate WEEI.
The NRC will vote on the financial ability of the Seabrook owners to pay for the eventual decommissioning of that nuclear plant. If approved, that will clear a major obstacle in the path of a license for the Seabrook plant. Late yesterday, the Federal Emergency Management Agency gave conditional approval to evacuation plans for the New Hampshire nuclear facility, removing another roadblock from the owner's bid to get that low-power license. Also on the agenda is a vote for restart of the Pilgrim plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, 37 miles south of Boston. The town's Board of Selectmen Chairwoman Alba Thompson is angry over the expected approval.
They don't have to be here and operate them. They'll not be here in the time of emergency. So they are making decisions about which they do not have as much information as the Board of Selectmen in Plymouth.
The Pilgrim station was closed 2 years ago for faulty management and maintenance problems. In New Hampshire, the Seabrook plant is complete but lacks an operating license. Gene Hartigan for CBS News, Boston.
U.S. Customs and Drug Agents in Miami have put a sizable dent in the nation's cocaine supply. Yesterday, they found 2.5 tons of the stuff on a Panamanian freighter. 5 days earlier, nearly a ton was found on a Haitian vessel. Total street value, about $50 million. We get more from Bruce Caldwell of Miami affiliate WINZ.
During the last 4 months, customs officials staking out the heavily traveled Miami River Inlet have seized nearly 6 tons of cocaine from freighters and other vessels. Customs spokesman Michael Sheehan says Operation River Watch has put a huge dent in the nation's supply of coke.
The Miami River has become an enormous inlet for cocaine being brought into the South Florida area, and that very cocaine that comes into South Florida is the same cocaine that is going to flow up into the rest of
two latest incidents, and Customs has confiscated the two freighters. Bruce Caldwell for CBS News, Miami.
Israel's Labor Party has approved a governing partnership with the right-wing Likud bloc. Earlier, after hours of heated debate, Likud leaders also voted approval. But as Lawrence Rifkin reports, it was a close call.
The unity coalition was ratified by only 55% of the Likud Central Committee members who showed up to vote. This came as a surprise to many experts who believed the party would, if not overwhelmingly, at least solidly back its leader, the pro-unity Yitzhak Shamir. But just a few minutes at the meeting were enough to make it clear that it wasn't going to be that way, and some of the heartiest boos were saved for Shamir. Argued that there was no choice but to go with the hated labor, for the only alternative would be an unstable right-wing religious coalition that would probably antagonize Washington and world Jewry. But the Likud's idealists felt that anything would be better and more honorable than joining with labor, and that included going into the opposition. Lawrence Rifkin, CBS News, Jerusalem.
In London, police have uncovered a suspected IRA bomb factory. Dan Revive reports.
The hidden arms cache included plastic explosives called Semtex, made in Czechoslovakia, provided in the past by Libya to the Irish Republican Army. Assistant Police Commissioner Hugh Ansley.
We found a substantial cache of explosives, Semtex in particular. We are fairly certain this is an IRA factory.
And a bomb-making factory here in London means the IRA may have been planning a Christmas bombing campaign in the British capital. It's happened before, and police warned that bombs may already have been planted. The public should beware. Two men believed to have lived in the apartment where the explosives, machine guns, and other weapons were found got away. The police launched a nationwide manhunt. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
In Warsaw, radical members of the banned Polish Socialist Party today formed a new group dedicated to overthrowing communism. It indirectly condemned Solidarity leader Lech Wałęsa for helping the government end last summer's strikes. The government of South Korea's president, No Tae-woo, today freed 281 political prisoners and restored the civil rights of nearly 1,600 others. Now that the amnesty's taken place, Seoul insists it holds no political prisoners. The dollar is slightly lower overseas. London gold is off 40 cents. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is off a point and a quarter at 21.64.82. The time now, 10 past 7.